Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the Late Night Buzz, the After Maghrib podcast with myself and my date for tonight, my co-host Ahmed Abbas Gokul. And before I go to my date, I want to ask you a question. You might find yourself dating. You're Muslim and you're asking yourself this question, you know, can I date before marriage? Can I embrace the culture of Western dating before, you know, finding my spouse and a way to get to know her? There's 101 questions we want to discuss tonight. And I'm sure Ahmed has all the answers for us. As usual, like every week, I'm not even going to rush it. I'm not even going to propose. I'm not even going to do anything. All I'm going to say is, Ahmed, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How you doing, bro?
Wallah, alhamdulillah.
I don't know if I'm flattered or how to feel really.
So you're my date?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to propose.
Okay, fine. All right. Well, last week you were talking about the Rainbow Mafia. And today we're on a
the Alphabet one. Mafia.
The Alphabet Mafia. That's it. Alphabet.
But they did ruin the Rainbow.
Yeah.
How
you doing, Sid?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm super tired.
Yeah.
I'm like proper tabang.
Long day.
Been a long day and been a long night from the night before. But now that I'm here, I'm alive. You can turn the lights off.
Alhamdulillah.
I just need to listen to you.
The late night buzz.
The late night buzz. That's what it's all about, man.
It's been a crazy week. I had a mixed day as well. I had some really, really good news from a member of my family. So I'm really happy for them. And at the same time, I also had some sad news. And I don't want to kind of dampen the mood, but I just want to pay tribute and offer condolences from After Maghrib to the family of Marhum Abbas Bandali, who's a member of our community, who sadly and tragically passed away. He's been suffering from cancer for the better part of the last 2 years. And he was in Dubai. He traveled to Dubai this festive period for the games, the sports games which take place out there. And unfortunately, he was taken into hospital and unfortunately he lost his life, and he's transitioned into the next phase, into the hereafter. So we offer condolences to his family. Especially, I just want to give a special mention to our dear friend Hossein Bandali, who is obviously, he's been on the podcast, he's a friend of the podcast, and his family as well. So yeah, it's a sad time, man. It's you know, when you get mixed emotions and you feel different ways, but this is the journey of life.
It is, and I think it's only fair that we all collectively recite Surah Al-Fatiha on his behalf, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman
ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman
ar-Rahim. Ahsan, thank you everyone at home for helping us and for being patient with us. Yeah, we're a community. We always have been. We like to kind of do whatever we can and to, you know, support those around us and also to remember those who have lost their lives for whichever reason. But also, whilst we are having this conversation, we wanted to address a question. Like you said, Sayed, things which have come up a lot. One of the most commonly requested topics, right, in terms of dating. So I think it's one of those things. I'm surprised we haven't gone into it. We've had similar conversations in the past about red flags and stuff like that. But this is quite a unique concept. But I don't even know how you describe the word dating.
I think before we even get into the discussion today, I think let's sort of understand what it is we want to discuss today.
Yeah.
We asked a question early on Instagram and we said, you know, we bring up the subject to our audience. We said Muslims and dating. We said we want your genuine thoughts. So we made like a poll and we gave three options. You know, your genuine thoughts on Muslims and dating.
Yeah.
Haram, stay away. Only if it's halal, or, you know, Muslims can date. Yeah, someone's surprised, you know, can Muslims actually date? So 43% said haram, stay away from dating. Okay. 46% said only if it's halal, which is very interesting here. 11% said Muslims can date with a question mark.
Interesting.
So that's
very,
like,
very,
so you've got almost a tie between haram, stay away, and others saying only if it's halal. There's only like a 2% difference.
So the tricky thing with this is, like the question then becomes, like, there's the social element of halal dating, and then there's the ahkam element of halal dating.
Yeah.
So we just put our disclaimer out there that we are not scholars, and you refer to your maraja, and you whatever your maraja say you can and can't do in terms of mahram and non-mahram.
Post your disclaimer.
Yeah.
I just want to mention one comment that someone contributed.
Okay.
And then you can carry on. Yeah.
Okay.
So this person mentioned, is dating the same idea of getting to know each other for a defined period of time before gets picked up?
Sahih.
So gets picked up is basically the nikah, the aqd, the actual marriage, the Islamic marriage that takes place.
But doesn't that come back to your niyyah, your intention? So when you are quote unquote dating, so the problem is that word is so conflated in this day and age, the society we live in, because we've grown up hearing on TV, in pop culture, in schools, or these two are dating. On TV, they'll have couples on different shows who are dating. And then you'll watch a show on TV, I don't know, like Friends, like a mainstream comedy show.
I don't watch that one,
But you know what I mean?
Like,
Just something, a show
people
that
are addicted,
you know, you,
to
people
that
watch
show.
In society, And, you know, you'll have a couple dating and then they break up and then they have a new boyfriend or girlfriend, and then they break up and they go back to the first, and it's a culture. So the culture of dating in society is in itself needs to be understood, and that culture, the Western culture of dating, Islamically is haram. Yani, like, does not work, not compatible whatsoever. A to Z of what the Western culture allows for dating or getting to know one another is not allowed, because in Western culture dating is trivial, it's frivolous, like there's no end goal, one would imagine, right? The mass majority of people are dating just because of boredom, or because of to fulfill desires, or because of just they like the company of someone, so they might as well have a relationship with them. Whereas in the Islamic sphere, if you wanted to get to know someone, there's conditions and rules, we'll get into that, and then there's got to be the niyyah. The niyyah in the kind of the, not even the majority, in all cases, should be for the intention of marriage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, like, that's got to be made clear. Halal dating, if you want to call it dating, has to be for the intention to get to know someone. That's the halal element. And then we can talk about the dating element as well.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So that's what I want to add kind of before we get into it.
No, and I think it's very valid that you mentioned all of that, because there is a clear difference between the Western un-Islamic dating culture compared to how we get to know one another leading up to marriage, inshallah. For us, we don't call it dating. I know every country calls it something else, but like in the Arab world, we call it the period of khutubah.
Speaking.
Khutubah is like, you know, I'm going to speak Iraqi here.
What does that mean?
But basically, you go ask for someone's hand.
Right.
And before you do any aqid, before you do any nikah, before you actually get, you know, an Islamic engagement, you actually do, you know, how can I say it?
Like dialogue?
The thing is, not everyone does this. Some people do this temporary marriage where you can get to know one another and speak. Some people don't. They think it's like the worst thing for them to ever give their daughter the right way to get to know someone by allowing this temporary marriage to take place during that khutubah period. But mainly in the Arab world, this is what happens. So there isn't this like dating culture where, you know, I get to know you without the parents involved, or I get to know you without, you know, family or community members are aware. Like, even when there is khutubah, they let people know.
Yeah.
So for example, your family knows.
Yeah.
Your relatives know.
Yeah.
Some members of your community know. Because la samahallah, one day you go out and they see both of you together in a public place. Let me just make that. They're going to say, what is Ibn Hay, Ibn Flan doing by themselves, for example? Yeah. That's why it's important to be in public. As there's certain rules, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between like the Western dating culture and the Islamic dating culture. So there is no halal dating, but it just depends how you define the word dating.
Yeah.
Getting to know, it's not the same as Western dating, because, bro, this Hollywood fantasy of dating,
so
it's not reality.
Let me ask you,
go on.
Because we'll talk about it. So guys, if you are looking to get married, if you are not there yet, but you know in the coming years you're going to look to get married, or if you've unfortunately recently had a divorce, if you're a recent widow, then this is a relevant conversation for you. But as of right now, I want to ask you, why? What is wrong with the Western dating culture? Okay, now let's take a breath, because we are not, as a community, all infallible. So there will be people in the community who are in university or in school, or maybe further away from their deen, that, you know, they're conscious about it, but maybe who are in a casual relationship. They're speaking to a girl or to a boy, maybe, for an extended period of time. Maybe they're meeting them for an extended period of time. maybe they're more advanced than that. So maybe they're physical. Maybe they are in an open relationship where their friends know about it. They'll go out in groups. They might say, yeah, but I'm young. It's not that serious. We're not into it that much. What is wrong with that? What's the risks there? Okay, so we know there's the hijab and there's the ahkam.
There's 101 things that can go wrong there.
Bullet point them for me.
Yani, I don't know if I can bullet point them, but I can say, for example, like in the Western culture, this whole dating thing is having a boyfriend or having a girlfriend outside of marriage. And once you have a relationship with this boyfriend or girlfriend, everything is normal. Everything is fine. Everything that is haram in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is normal in the Western dating culture. So firstly, that goes against our belief. If we, believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, everything that's part of the Western dating culture goes against
God's law.
our beliefs. If Allah tells you, for example, you cannot speak with the opposite gender outside of marriage or having a relationship, if I can say it, having a relationship with the opposite gender outside of marriage, even the same gender, just to make it clear, you it's haram. You know, you're transgressing on the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, but
So
someone might look, let's be real, because someone might say, okay, fine, I know that.
yeah.
I know that. I know that listening to music is haram. I know that lying is haram. Doesn't mean I don't do it. Doesn't mean I'm proud of it, but doesn't mean I don't do it. So, but what explanation can we give? Because look, the way I see it is, like, if we were to deconstruct it, yeah, so we say,
Yeah.
why is Western dating wrong? Okay, fine. That's a valid question. So of course it's
Look,
illegal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu
the
wa ta'ala.
Western dating culture is more towards lust
Yeah.
rather than love, family, relationship, children, offspring, all these things that we wish to have in our spouses is non-existent in a girlfriend boyfriend relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. All that exists is things that go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Yani, for example, lust is a huge disease.
Yeah.
Yani, it's something it's become normalized. And if we have Muslims watching, I don't know, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and we have Muslims now watching, I've seen on Netflix, Dubai Bling and things like this.
Yeah.
If we look up to them, we're going to be easily deceived to think this is the norm.
Yeah.
This is what a relationship truly is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us it's otherwise. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam tells us it's otherwise. So there is that danger where we can, lose what it is to be in a relationship, in a marriage, because marriage is more than just having a relationship with your husband or with your wife. You understand?
Yeah.
It's about that family bond. It's about building, how can I say it,
I know what you mean, the
Ahmed?
nuclear family core values that it should exist.
Because when you don't have that commitment, like a marriage, see, a marriage is a commitment, Habibi.
Yeah.
Like, marriage is like a, inshallah, a lifetime contract. At the end of the day, it's a haqqat, it's a contract between you and your missus, or your missus and your husband, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that marriage if
Yeah.
you take his path towards that relationship, inshallah. So there's a huge difference between relationships within Islam and relationships
I agree. I
outside of
agree.
Islam. Yeah.
Also, when you talk about Western dating, yeah. Western dating, the Western dating culture emasculates men. So you lose your masculinity by dating in a Western fashion. What do I mean by this? When you engage in a relationship with a girl that's non-committal or committal to a certain degree, you're committed but not fully
There is
committed.
no commitment, Ahmed.
Right, but in your mind, you're committed to a certain degree. Like, oh, she's my girlfriend. We're not committed to the point where I'll put a ring on the finger, but we're committed to the point where we'll say, yeah, I'm seeing someone, but I won't see someone else. But I'm not seeing them to the point where I'm ready to make a commitment to start a family with them, to tie a marriage contract together and
Unless there's
whatnot.
like an accidental
Right.
pregnancy on the way.
Yeah, well, inshallah not. But like it emasculates you. You might be a good man who's seeing a girl. You might be a good man, doesn't mean you're good at being a man. We've talked about this and
Yeah, we have
off cameras.
off camera,
Yeah. You might be a good man, doesn't mean you're good at being a man. Because if you're good at being a man, you'll understand the value of a woman. You'll understand the value of the role of a mother, that the girl you're speaking to will most probably one day be someone else's wife, someone else's mother, and is currently someone's daughter. And the value that you give to that woman should be respected. At the same time, it kind of plays on your ghira as a man. Like, your ghira is put at risk. You don't value the hijab of a sister the way you should value it, because you've experienced it.
Yep.
You've got in deep, you've understood female emotions, you've understood the feminine side of women that should really not be exposed to someone who's not mahram to them at all. And that should be kept reserved for your spouse. Do you know what I mean? So look, these are all, I think maybe some people will wholeheartedly disagree with that, but I truly believe that the Western dating culture is detrimental because it messes with your head as a guy.
It's dangerous.
Also, kind of just off topic,
yeah.
Someone said to me a couple of days ago, which I found really interesting, they said that music has a correlation when it comes to this topic. I was like, how? They're like, because if you're a guy and you listen to music heavily, you are more likely to end up in an illicit relationship with a girl. And if you're a sister who listens to music heavily, you are more likely to distance yourself from hijab, physical and social. Okay, I was thinking about that. I was like, how does that make, okay, fine. And it kind of makes sense, because when you listen to music, you feel rage, you feel lust, you feel rebelliousness, you feel distraction, you feel a million different things that will take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just generally from social interactions, because you're on such an adrenaline, you're on a hormonal adrenaline at all times when you're addicted to music, that it will take you away from the reality of life. So even when it comes to relationships, you have, not just in terms of the music videos and the lyrics and music, which are in itself are completely immoral and like devalue relationships and the opposite gender entirely, but even just the adrenaline that comes from music, the beat and the rhythm and all of that stuff is distracting in its nature. I know it's slightly off topic.
It goes hand in hand.
But I think that it's a lifestyle that you're living.
It goes hand in hand if you're Muslim.
Yeah, it does. Like you want to live a lifestyle where you're worthy to you know, be alongside someone and be their man. And
no, whatever. Of course. And I think it's also important to mention that when I said, you know, there's no real commitment in a girlfriend boyfriend relationship.
Yeah.
That definitely truly isn't. You know why? Because when you get married, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see, he gives you rights and he gives your spouse rights.
Yeah.
So the wife has rights and the husband has rights. The children has rights. Your in-laws has rights. Everyone has rights. There's like, you know, what you can do, what you can't do, what makes the marriage better, what's more beneficial for the husband, what's more beneficial for the wife, what's best for the children. There's like an entire, you know, a tool guide, a guidebook that tells you how to live the best life, how to raise the best of families, you know, how to be the best with your spouse, best with your wife, for example. But when it comes to like this boyfriend, girlfriend, Western dating culture, that is non-existent.
Yeah.
The only thing that exists is how Peng is my girlfriend. or for the guys, you know, sorry to say this on the podcast, how much people I've slept around with.
Yeah. Like,
well, back in my school days, 99% of the boys, all they talk about is who's their girlfriend.
Yeah.
How much people they've been with, and they already have a girlfriend and they're already cheating with someone else. So there's no like long-term, you know, goal of
and bro, you develop
family, or
you develop characteristics of deceit, cheating, of disloyalty. Like you're talking about, like when you're from school days, you're surrounded by people and you're one of those people maybe who are in relationships and you can frivolously cut them off or maybe cheat, or maybe speak to another girl while you're speaking to one girl. In your mind, you're like, yeah, that's okay, because I can move on and she can move on and we can get on with our lives. So you devalue marriage from what it should be, and it becomes like something optional, firstly. Mm. And then even if you engage in it, it becomes something that's, yeah, it's okay. It's breakable. Do you know what I mean? And we know, of course, that breaking marriage is the least liked halal act by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Non-stop, like that is full stop, that's undisputed, that's like a case closed. I want to ask you, because I know there's like so much to talk about. Yeah, so a lot of people turn around, you know, I had a story last week, one of my friends told me. He's like, I was like, we're talking about his family heritage.
Okay.
He's telling me how his dad, may Allah bless his dad, who's an alim, how his dad met his mother. Okay.
Mm.
He said, my dad's family were traveling through different countries, studying, teaching, engaging with communities. And one day they were in a certain country. I don't want to say which country, might give it away. But they were in a certain country and they passed through a certain village and they met a certain family and they sat down, they were hosted by them. And that family said, we have a daughter. Are you interested? So he said, yeah, bismillah. And like that, it was done. So today's day and age, people think, wow, how can you get married on the spot like that? Or how can you just choose your wife like that? Right? Surely you have to get to know someone. You want to save for a house. You want to talk about education. You want to talk about community involvement. You want to talk about preparing for the imam. You want to talk about majalis, hijab, all of these different concepts and notions that go into our decision-making on a day-to-day basis. How can I get to know someone just by asking one or two questions? Surely I have to get to know someone over an extended period of time. I want to ask you, firstly, is it okay to get to know someone, and what does that look like? And two, how long, or what are the, what's the environment which you can get to know someone within?
You know, just your first question, can you phrase it in a different way?
How to, is it okay to get to know someone?
Yeah, so what do you mean by that?
Yani, for example, is there parameters within Islam which allow us to get to know the opposite gender with the intention to get married? And how should that be done? So there might be a brother or sister who's 20 years old right now. Yeah. They're thinking, I know I'm approaching the age of marriage. There's guys or girls in my university who I like. Yeah. How do I even approach it? Where do I begin? And what are the do's and don'ts?
That's a big responsibility you've given me here, Ahmed.
There's a reason I asked you, bro. Before you could ask me.
Trust me, I'm no scholar. Yani, I even, like, if there is any advice here that's given, I give it to myself.
Say
first.
You're a married man, you're a father of two girls.
Alhamdulillah.
So think of it like that.
You're married as well, and you got two children.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah bless them. Habibi. And we have lots of single people behind the scenes. May Allah grant them
a
noble wife, inshallah. Ameen.
Ya Rabbil Alameen.
Dhurriya Salha wa Zawja Salha, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
I mean...
Huh? As long as
she gets me pepes. Yeah. Or she cooks you the pepes.
Say it's going to get destroyed after this.
Okay, where do you begin? Is a huge, huge, huge question, Ahmed. I think it begins with yourself.
Yeah,
I think the moment you start to realize you have an attraction towards the opposite gender, you should start thinking about your path of marriage.
The age of 13?
Of course.
Right. Okay.
Bro, you know, when we were young, me and my friends, we used to discuss, imagine getting married to this sort of individual, raising this sort of family. And bro, I think we were like 12, 13, 14 maybe. We're not even that old, yani. Very, very young. So that was the conversations we were having. There's no harm in having those conversations, but that's how you have to program your way. I'm not saying I'm special in that sense. I know it's very difficult for a lot of people. But alhamdulillah, for me, it wasn't that difficult. Yani, I already programmed myself. My hadaf is marriage, and you know, that's what God wants from us, and that's what I want as well from this life. So the moment you start to have, like, let's say, attraction towards the opposite gender, you'll know this at school. We all go to mixed schools. Living in the West, it's impossible to be like in a all boys school or only girl school. And then, you know, you have this, for example, prom culture, where the school sort of like puts pressure on you that you need to come with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Come with a date to the prom, and then everyone celebrates you being together and you show off in front of your friends. All of this is being programmed inside you. So a lot of youth, a lot of teenagers, that's the first thing they wake up to, is this Western dating culture of boyfriend, girlfriend, okay? So from a very, very young age, you cannot say you are not,
we need to change the way we think about that.
So you have to change the way you see things.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's like one point.
Yeah.
The second point is, when you have interactions with the opposite gender, how you have those interactions is either going to take you towards Jannah or towards hellfire.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Yani, your interactions have to be within reason.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What is the purpose of that conversation? Why are you having a conversation with a non-mahram in the first place? Mm. Okay, so before I'm talking about, you know, how can I have a conversation with someone whom I wish to marry, for example, is how you are will shape how you are leading on to marriage. So if everything's okay for you from day one, you don't care if you end up marrying, I don't know, Jessica and Jesse at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if we call ourselves Ali, Ahmed, Fatima, Zahra, all these people, bro, we want to marry those sort of individuals who respect the names that they've been given.
Yeah.
Because we look up to these individuals, as Muslims. That's the things we want. Because if we just want to have a relationship and a conversation with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and every Jessica, Mary, and whatever they're called,
yeah,
that's not going to help you in the path of marriage. Dating is going to become very normal to you.
Yeah.
Relationships outside of what is allowed is going to be very normal to you. And all of these things is going to hinder your progress in having a correct, proper Islamic marriage leading up to your nikah, basically. So that's like, I think, two scenarios if we set that on a foundational level here. But what's important is that, let's say you find someone. I don't know, you can be 17, you can be 16, you can be 18. You would know when you're ready for marriage, believe me. Your mom won't know.
Yeah.
Your dad won't know.
I agree with this, but I also disagree.
Your friends won't know, but you would know, because
you would know if you're ready for marriage.
Yeah.
But you'll know if you're ready. You'll know if you're ready for an element of marriage.
What is that element?
You'll know if you're ready to be with someone.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Or you know if you have the desire to be with someone. It doesn't mean you're ready for marriage. Okay. This is my opinion.
Okay.
Okay. I would know if I had an 18-year-old brother if he's ready for marriage in ways better than him.
Yeah.
Because I'm married.
Mm.
But there'll be at times where he'll say, no, Ahmed, I know I'm ready for marriage. Brother, you're ready to find a girl, or you're ready to be with a girl, you're ready to commit to a girl, may khalif, no problem. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. But are you ready for marriage is a different question.
Okay.
Are you prepared to finance? Are you prepared to save? Are you prepared to invest? Are you prepared to be financially responsible for the opposite gender, or for your wife, like for life?
Yeah. Okay, so now you know you're ready for marriage.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say you are ready. So okay, let's say you're ready.
Financially. Let's say you're 18.
Let's say, okay, fine. You're 18 or even you're 28. But like, point being, I know we've got a difference of opinion here, but I feel like there has to be, you know, I used to think when I was younger, I was like, 18, I agree with that. Like, and I still believe getting married as young as humanly possible should be done.
It's the best.
Yeah. There's a lot of advantages.
Highly encouraged.
A lot of advantages. But at the same time, we have to be conscious of this world we live in, that A, not everyone is around people they can marry. You know, like we're in London, bro. We're in Northwest London.
Yeah, but these things are secondary, Ahmed. We're talking about the primary things here.
No.
You're asking, how would you know you're ready for marriage? I'm telling you would know.
Yeah, you would know, but you won't know.
So once like, you know, no, trust you know, me,
so,
you would know.
Fine. So once you know, and you know that you are, and people around you feel that that you're ready as well.
Yeah.
So do you see what I mean?
Okay.
Because
so you
I
would
might
know.
Feel I'm ready.
La.
I might feel I'm ready.
Let me talk.
But
let
my parents talk. Might say, Ahmed, you're not ready.
So let me get to the point.
Okay.
So let's say you're 18.
Yeah.
You think now you're ready for marriage. You feel it. I know it. It's destined for me. I need to find the wife.
Okay.
For example, or the wife. I want to find the husband.
Yeah.
Go to your family. Have a conversation with mama.
And then they'll
have a conversation with mama. The problem is these days, the children, our young youth, are not having convos with their parents.
Yes, I agree with this.
They want to get married when they're 18, 19, 20, but they don't talk to mom and dad about it at all. And mom and dad doesn't talk to them about it.
They don't know the gravity of marriage.
They don't tell them what's the responsibilities. They don't tell them what to look out for.
Yeah.
They don't tell them, you know, how to guide them into finding the right spouse.
They don't
guide them, for example, you know do you want help in searching for a spouse?
Yes, of course.
Do you want us, you know, to speak friends, family, community, maybe bring, you know, your local maulana involved? Maybe there's families that do want to get married young. You don't know, but because you think you're ready for marriage and you're not telling your mom and dad about it,
see, the
all
thing
those
is,
feelings that's inside you, you're gonna end up either committing haram, or you're never going to get married until it's too late.
There has to be a channel which facilitates and encourages marriage. Like, there should never be a place in the community where someone feels, I want to get married, I'm either being stopped or there's nowhere for me to look. Because even if you are in a remote area, so we're in London, there are people who are in, you know, the most remote states in the US or in Canada or even around the world. We've got listeners from different parts of the world, you know, who may live in very small Shia communities. They sometimes will say, I need to get married and I have no choice. And the first person they meet might be from another madhab.
See, they say, I need
of the fall of Islam.
That keyword, I need. That means they know.
Yeah. So at the point of knowing. So let's say they, like you said, let's say they know. When I say teenagers, I mean, like, sometimes I feel teenagers are more.
If you're talking about like 13, 14, 15, no, I'll say it's
not even that. Like, I feel like sometimes an 18-year-old don't know about how life works, let alone how marriage works.
It depends on the upbringing.
It does, 100%. But if I'm talking from personal experience, if I was 18, I told my parents I want to get married, I said, Ahmed, do you know the responsibilities that you have over your wife, or that she has over you, the rights you have over her, she has over you? Do you need to know what you need to do for her the day you do your nikah and you say qabiltu, what happens? Like, you know, like, what is then? Like, you know, you go home with the wife. Where's she going to sleep? Where's she going to eat? Who's going to feed her? Where's she going to get the vegetables, the groceries? You know what I mean? Like, but a point aside, so let's say that's all good. Yeah, you're ready. You've got the savings. You have been vetted and checked, and people around you are encouraging you. The community needs to facilitate you. There should be matchmakers in the community, matchmakers who are confidential, who can keep secrets because they're dealing with very sensitive cases, widows, divorcees, perhaps even people who've been searching for a long time, maybe people with disabilities, maybe people who are remote, people around the world, family issues, stuff like that. At the same time, there should be initiatives. So for example, in a halal environment, so I'm not talking about speed dating and stuff, which I'm not saying is halal or haram, because I know there are communities that do that, but maybe like a book club, for example, or we talk about ABSOC events a lot, and where inshallah we're going to one next week, so stay tuned. But like an environment, whether it's an intellectual event, a university lecture, a book club, a social gathering, which is halal and somewhat segregated, where a brother and a sister can get to know each other within the folds of Islam, in a public space, which is under the knowledge and the permission of their parents, yeah, and with the intention to get married. Like, that is very, very important. And at that stage, you can say this is a halal atmosphere for dating, if you want to call it that, no problem. Like, that's okay, fine. I think there's more appropriate words than halal dating. Like you said, what was the word you said? Khutuba.
Yeah. Yani, we say halal, that in Arabic.
An environment, a dialogue prior to the marriage.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
What I mean, but it should, like, this is why I want to say, like, the necessary. Can I just read something to you?
Go on.
I'm saying a lot. Yeah, I read something today from Hussein Qazwini.
Okay.
On alislam.org, we shout out a lot, and I would highly encourage everyone to use alislam the most possible. Okay, just bear with me with this. Yeah, this is what he says. So he said, he's talking about getting to know someone, and it's a long article, but I'm going to summarize. He basically says, go to a public place, ask them useful questions. Don't ask them stupid questions. Like, don't ask them, what's your favorite color? Because that's not going to determine whether they're going to be a good spouse for you or not.
Imagine someone asked that.
Yeah. And he goes, he makes a joke. He's like, if you ask them, what's your favorite color? You'll say the color of your eyes. If you say, what's your favorite film? You say, any film you want to watch with me. What's your favorite food? Any food you make me. Do you get me? Like, nah, none of that. Dash it all out. He's like, just keep it 100. No, but he says this point. He goes, He goes, this sort of date, which he calls a date, like you go to a coffee shop or whatever, should be considered like an interview, like a job interview. Have you ever had a job interview? Have you ever been interrogated? The date should be like this. It should be a two-way interview. For example, you ask a lot of questions. You ask for a reference. Who knows you? Who says you're a good person? Ask for a reference. Something like a letter of recommendation. Ask for a reference. You ask about that person's background and their history. What have you done? Have you been in previous relationships? Will you ever get were you ever divorced? What happened? So on and so forth. What are your plans for the future? So on and so forth. You could also ask hypothetical questions. For example, if you're a lady, you could ask the man, what would you do if I took off my hijab? Would you allow me to take off my hijab, or would you divorce me?
Allahu Akbar.
Or if you're a young man, you should ask a hypothetical question. What would you do if I changed my job and I owned a liquor store, an alcohol store, or if I stopped praying? Things like this. The idea, I know he's being very direct with his words, and maybe it would be a bit awkward, but at the same time,
but that's the reality of how it should be.
Right, so you need to understand what is in their heart and soul. And the way you do that is by asking questions which make them think, and make the other person, and make yourself think, like, you know, what would I do if this girl who's really pretty, and she's got great makeup and great hijab, and she's very nice to the barista behind the till, and whatnot. Oh, okay, great. But how am I meant to know if this person will be the mother of my children, who will stand beside me or behind me or whatever, who will encourage me to fight alongside the imam of our time? And you think, whoa, that's like heavy thinking. Bro, you don't know in 50 years where the world's going to be, but you know that this person, there's a good chance you'll still be with them in 50 years.
No, you're right. And you know, Sayyid Hussain mentioned very nice points.
Yeah.
And I've heard like lots of lectures by him when it comes to the topic of marriage. And he's got plenty. Fantastic. I really advise whoever listening or watching to this podcast,
all
you know,
Qazwinis,
just go on YouTube. Yeah.
Sayyid Saleh,
Sayyid Ahmed Qazwini, Sayyid Ahmed Qazwini. Sayyid Mustafa Al-Qazwini, they all have topics about marriage and relationships. And
they do really good
even
stuff.
On Islamic dating.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some lectures available for you to listen to online on YouTube, inshallah, and benefit from them. I know we all do.
Yeah, 100%.
Benefit from them. May Allah bless them all. But before I go into talking about, you know, what can we discuss?
Yeah.
With, you know, the getting to know each other stage. And I go back to the point that I mentioned when you know you're ready for marriage.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I mentioned that. You may not agree with it. I know you half do with me, but bro, this is how it is Islamically.
Yeah.
You understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain laws, certain things are halal to us, certain things are haram to us. When I say you feel ready for marriage,
yeah,
that means there's a desire inside you for something.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a desire to have a conversation with the opposite gender. It can be a desire to have intimate relationships with the opposite gender. It can be a desire to have nothing apart just from looking at the opposite gender.
Yeah.
You understand? So like everyone's got a different, how can I say, different way
threshold.
A threshold of what makes them ready.
I get that.
For marriage. Yeah. So I'm not saying that means you are ready for marriage.
Yeah.
But I'm saying Islamically, that's when you have to start thinking of marriage.
Yeah.
You understand?
I agree with you. For
because
that.
The moment you feel like you're going towards haram, that's when marriage becomes almost something, I think, compulsory on
it's
you.
A priority,
like
yeah.
I've read that it becomes like almost wajib on you.
Yeah.
You have to seek marriage. And when you go to your parents and you tell mama or baba, you tell your father, you know, I think I'm ready for marriage. I've got certain desires. I want to be with the opposite gender. I want to build a family. I want to have a relationship. The father has to help you get married.
Yeah.
You understand? Like there's so much emphasis Islamically that the parents and the son, so I don't want to speak about daughters. I can't speak on this on behalf of the sisters.
Yeah.
But as a son, if you want to get married, well, go to your parents.
100%.
And if why don't got, you talk to your
not,
dad?
If you've not got, because there are people who
if you don't have a dad, if you don't have a relationship with your father, talk to your uncle.
Right. That's what I was going to
talk to your grandfather.
Talk to a representative.
Talk to, yeah, the
male
understand.
Figure, father sense. Figure in
yeah,
your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you are a female, talk to your wali. That could be your father. And if your father's not alive, that can be your grandfather, mm-hmm. your paternal grandfather. But so that's why I mentioned that point, because it's important to mention what's halal and what's haram, because it's so easy for us. So easy for us. And maybe if you go back years, remember your teenage years, Ahmed.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to have any interaction with the opposite gender.
For sure.
But where you study at school, you're dealing with the opposite gender.
Yeah.
You go to work, you're dealing with the opposite gender. You go into the supermarket, you're dealing with the opposite gender. You're getting on the bus, on the train, on the tube, on the metro, whatever it is, you're dealing with the opposite gender. You're walking home.
Yeah.
You finish your work, you finish studies, you're dealing with the opposite gender. You go into mosque, sometimes you may have an interaction with the opposite gender. Bro, it happens. There's no denying that there is interactions that happens between the male and the female. But how we go on about it is what makes a difference.
Yeah. And just
because it's so easy, Ahmed, to fall into the trap of shaitan.
100%.
To fall into the trap of dunya.
This is why marriage is a priority.
Yeah.
It's so, and this is why not even the ones who get married, but there's a hadith about the ones who introduce the ones who introduce two people who get married, and the reward of that person who introduces two people get married.
Yeah, yeah.
So even if you're not the one being married and you're facilitating or encouraging a marriage, whether you're a parent, whether you're a matchmaker, whether you're a reference or whatever you are, whatever role you play, your institution of that marriage is part of that. You're part of that thing, bro. Allah reward you eternally for that. Can you just go close up on me? I just want to show something. Guys, we asked this question. We asked this question, yeah? On Sayyid Ali asked it when he posted it about what's your views on this. Just look at my phone. I don't know if you can see. How many responses we've had in maybe 2 hours? What are you trying to say? Yeah, we got clout. We got clout. Shout out. Hit 20,000 followers. Thank you. But no, what I'm trying to say is that this is a really, 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 really intense topic. It's sensitive. I just want to read out 2 or 3 comments, if you don't mind saying. So, how is it even possible for something like dating to be halal? That's one person said. One person said, the talking stage or getting to know each other stage is accurate, of course, but it has to be with the knowledge of parents. Someone else says, I think if you plan to get 100% married and if you want to know someone deeply, you can. Someone else said, there's nothing like halal dating. It's like saying halal pork. I like that. It's interesting. There's a lot of points on muta'a, which we've done a podcast on, and I encourage everyone to watch it. a lot of people, one sister
But we
says,
only spoke about the abuse of temporary marriage.
We talk about the abuse of temporary marriage. But obviously, in a time like this, Mut'ah has a great, you know, a great place.
Of course.
You know, someone says, this is the beauty of Mut'ah. Sadly, some abuse it and use it in the wrong way. Someone else said, if both are in agreement for Mut'ah for the right reasons, I don't see it being an issue. Someone else said, what is a halal dating? Is it a casual talk between a male and a female classmate? Then bro, there's like a million and one things, to be honest. We could even do a whole series on this, probably with more expert guests. But yeah, someone said, if the parents of both marriage know, what's the problem? And then they said, I take back my last answer, lol. I think you guys should define dating first, which is, I think, what we did. We're trying to do, yeah. All right, let me ask you another question, yeah?
You're asking too much questions.
Okay, you ask me then.
No, go on.
Yeah, enjoy it. It's like a marriage
scary.
Interview.
Yeah. Marriage I did say at the start, you're my date tonight.
Yeah, that's true, bro. Get me shy and get me red. Okay, fine. Allah. So, someone who's in the phase of getting to know someone, yeah, so we've mentioned what the community could do, book clubs, this, that, matchmakers and so on. Right, now let's say you're face to face with a sister in a halal environment, everything's good, parents know, safe environment, there's trust on both sides, references are good. Okay, what sort of questions would you recommend is good to ask? So we've talked about what Sayyid Hussein recommended. But what topics are good to know about? Because we know, of course, the hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, where he talks about akhlaq and deen to be the two primary benefactors of marriage and the reasons to accept someone in marriage. And if they don't have either of those, then you can't reject them, essentially. Or you can reject them, if you see what I mean.
Don't reject them.
Don't reject them.
Because there will be corruption on the earth.
There'll be corruption on the earth. That's what the hadith says. So how do you get to know someone, understand their akhlaq and their deen when you're in front of them? What would you recommend to someone?
See, everyone will have a different experience getting to know someone.
Yeah.
Everyone have a different scenario. Everyone have a different environment. Everyone will have a different method.
Yeah.
But I think we need to sort of understand what is allowed and what's not allowed. Or what you can ask and what you can't ask. And the environments you're allowed to be in and the environments you're not allowed to be in. So I think we have to take it from that angle.
Yeah.
Let's say you found someone. How you found them, Allahu alam. I don't know. Maybe you found them on a Shia thirst trap on TikTok, God forbid. I don't know. And you'd be surprised the way people end up getting married these days, yeah? I don't know where you found them. But I'm going to say, let's say you found them in your community.
Yeah.
Let's say you went to a Mawlid event, a conference.
Do you mean you've got your eyes on someone or you've been...
No, you've just... The same page. You've just... I'm gonna make a scenario.
Yeah.
Because I know someone who's been in this scenario, okay? So they went to a community event and they saw a sister there. They weren't intentionally like eyeing sisters, but one sister caught their attention by how she was dealing with the running of the event.
Right.
So she was part of the organization
of
this event that was happening. And he really liked her akhlaq. He really liked how she handled herself and how respectful she was and how she was dealing with the males in the organization as a female.
Yeah.
So that already was like, he was like, wow. On top of that, she was pretty for him. He did say, and she did have beautiful looks for him. So for him already that ticked all boxes. But he didn't go chat to her.
Yeah.
What did he end up doing?
He told someone.
No. The poor guy ended up stalking her. He started asking around, for example, who is she? He got the name. So now he's going stalking her online.
Oh, no.
He's stalking her on... So your intentions can be right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then you go online, you start doing the stalking business, you start following, you start Facebook poking. I don't know what people do these days. But there is this element where you just want to know what they're up to.
Yeah.
Sadly for him, her accounts were private, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
So as much as he tried to find out about her, he couldn't because she was private.
Good.
So already that ticked another box.
Oh my God.
So
the more she distanced herself from him, the more he
liked the more he wanted to know about this girl, he couldn't find out. That's how private.
So did you not answer my question?
Yeah, I'm going to get there. What did he do next?
Yeah.
Now he wants to know, who does she have a brother? Who's her dad?
Okay.
Who's her uncle? Who's her family? He got the name of the family. What did he end up doing?
Facebook poked.
No, he didn't Facebook poked. He didn't stand next to her brother and let him.
He asked them.
He went to her house.
Yeah.
He knew who had that. He knew.
Found her address on electoral.
He just didn't know that's his daughter.
Turned up to the house.
And he didn't know that dad had this daughter.
Okay.
Like, that's how she was as a female.
Yeah.
She existed in the community, but no one knew of her. That's how her hijab was. Mm-hmm. That's how her haya was. That's
Allah,
so. I'm not sending shots on the girls, bro. This is what the reality of how
saying they
everyone
should be invisible.
Should be, yani, inshallah.
Saying they should remain invisible.
Not remain invisible.
Say, I'm just.
But remain. Remain on what makes you.
Don't,
a good
don't put
Muslim.
Yourself out there in the public eye to the point where everyone can make a judgment and find out about you.
So no, he went and he knocked the door. He was like, "Salam, Amu, blah blah. I'm coming in. I'm here to ask." For your
no
daughter's
way.
Hand. The guy
no,
is confused.
He, no...
he goes, I know your dad. I know who on earth you are. Why haven't you come with your parents?
So he didn't give heads up or nothing? He just
nothing.
Up.
He just turned up.
Oh my God.
I want to ask. So he told them, I don't get along with my dad.
Oh.
So he has no relationship with his dad. His right. mom is not part of the community. Only he is and his dad is. The part of the community. So community plays a big role. When you don't have that connection, it can make things proper awkward for you. Then, so now he goes to this family. He tells them, I want to ask your daughter's hand. He tells them, where's your dad? Where's your uncle? Basically, where's your uncle? Like, where's the men of your family? Why have you come alone? And he explains to him, I've got issues with my father. The guy told him, the fact you've come to me, انت رجال, basically. Like, you not just have the guts.
Yeah.
I think you truly are a man. That you came to me to ask for my daughter's hand, and they set up a meeting. And that went. That's one example.
Really,
so that, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, they're married.
They're married.
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
So that's like one scenario. Right,
the way you're painting the picture is like he's a stalker.
No.
He's like the police are watching him.
What the point I was trying to say is that as much as he tried to stalk this girl, we call it stalking, but he's just trying to get to know
her. He's curious.
Everyone's got different ways of getting to know someone, sah? Like, he's curious. What's she up to? What does she do?
Can I just interrupt you?
Go on.
One of my close friends who you know. I remember about 10 years ago, we were in university. He was 18. He was 19. I was 18.
Mm.
And he's like, bro, I want to get married. Yeah. So I was like, I just come out of school. Just I was like fresh into university. And I was like, whoa, like I haven't even got my driving license yet. The guy's talking about getting married. So he was like, I'm going to do it. I didn't take him serious. Within a week or two. He had a recommendation from one of his family members. He found the girl's name. The sister, mashallah, her name is the most generic Shia girl's name you can imagine.
Zahra.
Yeah, of the likes. Yeah, you mentioned one of them.
Batul, Zainab.
No. Basically, and her surname even is like a very hard name. But somehow he found her online.
Okay.
And I remember I was sitting in the car with him. We went to fill up petrol. So we're in the petrol station. I went to pay for the petrol, or I went to get a drink or something. I came back to the car.
He was married.
He's on. I came back to the car. He's on her Facebook profile.
Allah,
I said, bro,
what's going on?
I've been inside for a minute and I've come back and you're already on her Facebook. He said, Ahmed, look at her picture, a cover photo. She's got no pictures of her face on her Facebook. It's just the back of her hijab. What color hijab is this picture? What color hijab is that picture? I was like, okay, like you can't really tell then, like, you know, if you're interested. He said, no, bro, I love it. He said, this girl is the one. I was like, bro, you don't know anything about her name. You know that she posted a picture of the back of her hijab. What else? He said, no, this is the one. I know. Alhamdulillah, they're married.
Subhanallah.
They got married. He had the pure niyyah and he approached it the right way. He went to a family member to speak to their family member. He had the, like you said, he had the proper intention
to get married.
To get married.
Yeah.
Right? So it is a very important thing. And when you, sorry, Sayed, to follow
that. No, I'm saying the differences between these two examples, their intention was zawaj, nikah, aqad, actual marriage contract, rather than boyfriend, girlfriend.
Ahsant.
Let's just talk, see how it goes. You know,
and if you don't have someone, sorry, I was going to say, because in the case of your friend, Allah bless him, who got married, there, you know, his father-in-law did the right thing and the noble thing. He didn't judge him for coming by himself, and he respected him. But also, there's a sunnah when it comes to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that they usually had an elder member of the family who acted as a wali or a wakil in that situation. So, for example, the case of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, his father had passed away, Abdullah, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib had passed away. So who did he have? Abu Talib alayhi salam, who acted as his intermediary between himself and Sayyidah Khadija salamullahi alayha. And she also had a community of sisters or women, or I had in a lecture, they were called matchmakers, but I don't know if that's an appropriate term. Who were the intermediaries between the male's representative, Abu Talib alayhi salam, and Sayyidah Khadija alayhi salam's representatives as well. So of course that helps in situations. In my personal case, I've spoken to you about this before. My wife at the time when we first met, we lived in different countries, so our families didn't know each other. So we both had representatives who would first discuss before we kind of got to know each other personally. So it would help in those cases. Obviously, in other cases, you meet someone in an event or you see someone face to face.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think now it's only fair to discuss what can you discuss.
What do you mean?
With the...
what can you discuss?
As you're trying to get to know them, right?
Yeah.
See, when you interact with the opposite gender, whether you have an intention for marriage or you don't have an intention for marriage, at some stage during that conversation, there is going to be a moment of a smile. There's going to be a moment of possibly laughter.
Yeah.
There's going to be a moment where you lapse in, you know, what you should stay far away from. So you can literally be, you know, praying five times a day, fasting the entire Ramadan, fasting all the mustahabbat, doing all the khayrat. But then when you come to speak to the opposite gender, wallah, sometimes shaitan can make you forget iman completely.
Right. But what do you mean specifically? Because laughter and smiling, is that what you
mean? Because this is how it starts.
Right.
You know, we had the previous podcast.
Yeah.
I, there's so much points I don't want to re-mention.
Yeah, I know.
You understand? But we've had the previous conversation where I was like, you know, sometimes you'll start with a conversation. It starts with a smile.
Yeah.
You end up laughing and then everything else becomes normal.
Yeah.
The laughing is normal. The smiling is normal. And now you're hugging each other. Next thing, Allahu alam, man, it's game over for you.
You banter with each other. You start making cheeky jokes. And then it gets
further. And it goes on, goes on, goes on, goes on. Until you're fooling yourself. I promise you, you are fooling yourself. If you're having this relationship with this person and you're saying, I'm going to marry her.
Yeah.
And you've been talking for, bro, I know people have been chatting for 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm still getting to know her. But wallah, she's someone's sister. Wallah, she's someone's daughter.
100%.
She's someone's niece. Yani, it's not a game. And sisters, believe me, they trust these men.
Yeah.
I feel like they fall trap to these men.
Yeah.
These men, they say, let's talk. I want to get to know you because we want to get married. If the sister doesn't have an intention for marriage, she shouldn't even have that conversation from the beginning.
Yeah.
Sah?
Yeah.
And vice versa. But, you know, the sisters, I think they're very gullible.
Yeah.
We've seen, right, yeah. I think, ample examples.
And we've had people ask us to mention this.
And
about manipulation.
We all know scenarios. We've all heard the stories. We're all part of communities. And we all know the destruction that has happened from such relationships. Because it started with, let's get to know each other.
Yeah.
For the sake of marriage, and then you do nothing apart from getting to know each other.
And bro, to be honest, when you're young, you're immature.
Yeah, you are immature.
You make mistakes. Guys make mistakes. Girls make mistakes.
But now look at the difference now. You really want to get married.
Yeah.
So now you go seek a spouse.
Mm.
How you seek it is very important. Mm.
Yeah.
You don't want to pick her up in the club dancing with other men.
Yeah.
It happens. Muslim men go clubbing. They find a Muslim in a club, they end up getting married. It happens. Bro, the things that sometimes occur in our communities
are shocking. Someone told me last week that there are clubs in like areas of the world where there are loads of Shia, loads of Arabs. Clubs.
Yeah.
The clubs are in those Arab or Muslim areas and they'll sell halal chicken. So, because they say people come into the club to dance and to listen to music, and they'll say, your chicken wing is halal. I'll say, no. So, okay, I can't be here then. I'm a Muslim. So they walk out. But it's like there's double standards, because then what becomes halal and haram becomes... Some people will take alcohol very seriously. I can't drink. I can't eat haram meat. When it comes to talking to girls, yeah, minor. It's not a problem. Not a problem
because
whatsoever.
Because Shaitan is telling you it's Shaitan minor. Is, you know you inside you, standards. Deep down, as a Muslim, you know this is wrong.
And you have a different standard. So you treat the same way you treat alcohol, you don't treat music. The same way you treat music, you don't treat weed. Or you don't treat, you know, whatever it is, talking to girls or pornography or anything along those lines, which all fall kind of within the same category of haram. Yeah? You like you have one rule for one and a different rule for another. So,
but I want to mention one story and one scenario we can all relate to. As Muslims, we can all relate to. The Prophet of God, Nabi Allah, Yusuf, alayhi salam.
Alayhi salam.
What was he known for?
His beauty.
He was known for being beautiful, handsome, I don't know, buff, I don't know, whatever it is. But he was known as to be like this shining knight in armor or the prince and king for all the princesses and things like that. He was known for his beauty. Like the Jamal of Nabi Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam was like something even like Quran talks about.
Yeah.
Islam talks about. Do you understand? So there's lots of examples there. What was he facing? He was facing dealing and interacting with the opposite gender.
Yeah.
By a girl called Zulaykha. Zulaykha, when she set eyes on Yusuf alayhi salam, she wanted to be in a relationship with him. You have to understand, there's a reason, one of the reasons why Yusuf, Nabi Allah Yusuf alayhi salam, never pursued any marriage relationship with her, was that she worshipped idols. So there was a time where he was working in her house. He was a servant.
Yeah.
He was a servant in her house. And she'd always want to grab his attention. And she'll always ensure there were certain scenarios where it's just him and her.
But the way she approached him, she tried to entice him.
No matter how much she tried to persuade him, to sway him towards her, he would not give in.
Yeah.
He would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It came to the point, listen to this, it came to the point where now it was only Zulaykha and Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam in the house. Imagine, only them two in the house. She's locked the door, she's locked the windows. There's an actual scenario here. I want people to go research this, yeah. She comes to him and she tells him, look at me. He doesn't raise his eyes. He's lowered his gaze.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's part of the hijab of men. He's lowered his gaze. She tells him, I want to look at your beautiful eyes. She mentions it. I want to look at your beautiful eyes. Look into my eyes.
Yeah.
He tells her, these beautiful eyes, ask me 3 days later, after I die, how beautiful my eyes are.
Mm.
Then she goes to him, your fragrance. You've got like this fragrance. Like you smell... to me, I'll say it's godly. It's a God-given smell to the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tells her, come smell my corpse of a dead, smell the corpse of a dead man 3 days later. Will you have the same thought process, basically? Then he went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. In a way, he managed to escape the house and he left. And this whole scenario of, you know, you gave this example of the shirts being ripped and things like that. So he got himself out of there. We face this every day.
Yeah.
Maybe not you, maybe not me, maybe not Sayyidina Mushtaba, but people actually face this. Muslims, Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims, every Tom, Dick and Harry, part who believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, has an opportunity to become like the Prophet of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself in that scenario. Because I guarantee you and I promise you, if you find yourself in that scenario, you've put yourself in there.
Mm.
You've allowed yourself to be there. You enjoyed that conversation. You enjoyed that smile.
Like it's not an.
I'm talking about the interactions.
Yeah, like as
this unnecessary.
It's understandable.
Interactions with the opposite gender.
Yeah, it's understandable to enjoy it. A sin is a sin because it's enjoyable and it's forbidden. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's enjoyable and wrong, and that's why it's wrong, because you're enjoying something which is not allowed. It's not allowed. So, long story short, I think we have to be conscious at the same time that if something doesn't feel right from the offset, then don't engage in that. And when you've got the pure intentions, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his mercy on people who are both sincere in their intention to get married, then you will find someone, you know. And then, you know, nowadays we have so many things, virtual, remote, we have connections, we have family members, we have communities online, where you can find people. There's some, some of the most, mashallah, most significant couples I can think of in the community have met each other on online, or have met each other through family or through recommendations from friends. So don't give up hope, brothers and sisters. Like, keep at it, keep praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and keep trying, keep yearning for halal relationships, and don't engage in the wrong.
Well, the beauty of it, if you really want to get married and you make that intention and you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make it easy for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to promise you, but I will guarantee you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ample opportunities.
Yeah.
If you really make that sincere intention, I really want to get married for the sake of Allah. Shuf, the huge difference here. Do I want to get married for myself? Who doesn't? Everyone wants to get married. Everyone wants to have a relationship. Everyone has desires. But there's a difference. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 100%. God will open your avenues and doors.
Yeah. Marriage is a three-way relationship.
It's a three-way. It's you, your spouse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without marriage, it's you and your spouse or your girlfriend and shaitan.
Khalas.
Nothing else.
Khalas. That's it. That's important. You've got no end goal. You've got no common goal. Do you know what I mean? Allah is the common goal. Allah is your purpose and He's your existence. He's your sustainer. So Allah sustains your marriage in that sense. Your relationship with your wife is sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's brought you together. He's sustained you. He's provided for you. And then He will amplify in terms of your offspring. So there's nothing to do except to be grateful to Allah and to continuously remind yourselves as a couple that you should be. I think when you meet someone, the God centricity should play a big role in that conversation. A crucial role. Like, yeah, you're not going to walk in. I have a friend who he was trying to find a wife for a few years. May Allah bless him. He's now found, mashallah, he's married. But, you know, he, for a long time, he'd start a conversation with a girl. And one of the first questions he'd ask her, what are your views on tatbir? That was one of the first things he'd ask her. And he was saying, bro, why is it not working? I said, brother, in my humble opinion, it's not a place to start. Like, you know, because it shows the intensity that you are as a person. Whether you agree with it or you disagree with it shows your intensity. Maybe start off on a more casual. Obviously, you want to know what sort of person they are. What are their interests? What are their hobbies? Halal.
Okay. Bro, maybe that's important to him. It means the world
it
to him.
It is important to him. But bro, you want to give the girl a chance to breathe.
Bro.
Imagine you first meet someone.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what their surname is, for example. You know, or you don't even know how old they are. You don't even know if they're looking themselves to get married, or you know what I mean? And you just throw something in there. What's your views on, you know, I'm not going to name things, but like something which is maybe controversial, or you know, there's a 50% chance they will be against it or in favor of it or something like that. So maybe ease off a bit and then, you know, inform or articulate your personal opinions in like a very responsible manner at the time when it's right. And some things will come up organically. You know, but you know, you've got to find out the answers to some questions. If you strongly believe in something which you know might cause an issue, you should mention that. So
no, you're right. And let's take it back to, and we end it here.
Yeah.
Where, you know, how can you speak with the opposite gender, and what's the right way, and what's the correct way Islamically, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very simply, I'm gonna ask you one question, just say yes or no.
Yeah.
Can you have a date as a Muslim?
I think yes, because I know he's judging me.
No, I'm not.
Nah, because I think the word date is like the wrong word to use personally. But I think you can have an interaction with someone.
So now let's abolish this word date.
Right, we abolish the word date. We redefine it for our meaning.
Yes.
Our definition is
what? Are you allowed to speak with someone?
Yes.
To get to know them, for them to be your spouse?
Yes, you are. You are. 100%.
So can anyone just go start speaking to anyone?
Are you allowed to speak to someone to go?
Yeah,
of course you are. Why? What's wrong with that?
Are you sure about that?
What? You're allowed to? You're not. Wait, pause here. What's wrong with that?
No. I need to put you on the spot.
What do you mean? Yeah, of course you are. See, if you are in the intention to get married, you have permission from Allah from your parents. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go in there and you think, I will maintain my hijab. I will only speak to someone who's maintaining their hijab. I'll do it in a public environment. I'll do it where there's accountability. If I do anything wrong, people are aware. If they do anything wrong, people are aware. And then you do it to minimize and not extend unnecessarily your point of interaction.
What's wrong with that? Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. That's the answer.
That is the
actual answer.
Yeah.
Yani, can we go on dates as Muslims? No. We can't.
But if you go on a date which meets those criteria, call it whatever you want.
Yeah, use whatever word you want.
Whatever word you want.
Yeah. But for example, can I go out with them Bro, no, you can't first of all, there's no such thing as Hollywood dating.
Yeah, there's no Western dating here.
Keeping up with the Kardashians and things like that. All of this doesn't exist in Islam.
No, go it's outside the folds of Islam. No Oppenheimer, no Winter Wonderland with a girl that you get to know. Unless you're either in your mahram to her.
There is khutuba.
Yeah.
There is, you know, family members there present with you. No, right next to you.
Yeah.
At a distance, Zian. In a public setting, there is no problem. But what you discuss is what the problem is. You can be laughing and chit-chatting. Too much of that, bro, does nothing. Does not benefit you.
Mm.
Does not take you towards marriage.
Like I said,
it might show your humorous side.
Yeah.
But everyone is humorous.
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
Yeah. Understand? 100%, yeah.
And if you're gonna laugh and say, "Oh, he makes me laugh," or you know, she makes me smile, bro, that's at the beginning stage.
Yeah.
Ask the people who are married. It still continues throughout your marriage, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not the be all and end all of what's going to make you have that relationship that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question should be, for example, are you on your deen?
Yeah.
Do you pray?
Yeah.
Do you fast? Do you take drugs? Do you know how much brothers take drugs? Wallahi al-azim. We have people praying and fasting and they're smoking drugs.
Yeah.
You have people praying and fasting and drinking.
I'd love to see like a reenactment, like a role play where Sayyid Ali's in a coffee shop, girl comes in, do you pray, do you fast, do you take drugs, and by the way, how many sugars do you take in your coffee? Just imagine that. That'd be amazing. Like, no, I know what you mean. You want to ask the questions
like
that will benefit
there's
you.
There's very important questions, like some very, very important questions to ask a brother.
Right.
Somehow the brothers always know what to ask the sisters.
Right? Yeah.
For some reason. But the sisters always like, what do we discuss? What do
but
we
you
talk
can,
about?
But surely you can, I know we need to wrap up and I know we've both got places to be.
How is your relationship with your family?
Yeah.
How is your relationship with the Quran?
Yeah.
Are we going to go ziyarah? Do you ever see us going Hajj and Umrah? Like, bro, these things are very crucial here.
Yeah. And there's different things you can talk about. You can talk about worldly things as well.
Not should we live in a flat or have a mansion. You know, not should we drive a Polo, ride a bus, or drive a Range Rover.
I agree.
Those
with that,
questions
no, but
have nothing
to
do with Islam. Compatibility, maybe for yourself, worldly desire.
Say, this is the thing. There are questions which you have to discuss.
Yeah.
To do with worldly things, because we're living in this dunya,
like work,
Allah's put us here to
a roof over your head, right?
Yeah. What are your expectations financially? How many family holidays do you expect to go on per year? For example,
these come at the second stage,
right? Perhaps, yeah, I agree with that, yeah. But I'm saying that prior to like putting a ring on each other's finger, there are questions you need to ask, So you need to ask, like, what are your
my wife doesn't like Spider-Man, she's getting divorced.
if your wife doesn't
for
like
those
Spider-Man.
Who didn't hear that, if your wife doesn't like Spider-Man, she's getting divorced.
May Allah grant you a noble wife,
may Allah grant you a wife that gives you spider webs.
Anyway, but yeah, no, like, you, like obviously you've got to ask the right questions at the first stage.
But these are like the questions you can ask if there is no temporary marriage. If there is temporary marriage, bro, ask whatever
you
want to ask.
Why would you do temporary marriage?
Because you can do temporary marriage to get to know them properly.
Yes, yeah, fair enough, yeah. Guys, you can tell me and say that, like, we're both passionate about this.
Take permission from her wali. Like, go with your family. I'm not saying, yani, just randomly show up, march. No, speak to your mom, speak to your dad, speak to your uncle, speak to your older brother if you're younger. I have no idea. Go with them. Go propose. Say, I want to get to know your daughter.
Yeah.
We want to get to know, you know, you guys are an amazing family. We've heard so much about you, march, you know. And before you propose, believe me, search that family up.
Yeah, it's a very important point.
Believe me, yani, it's very impossible that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, although sometimes we find the very opposite.
Yeah.
But it's very rare.
Yeah.
Very, very rare. But
no,
the moment,
inshallah,
we
don't judge a book by its cover, but you have to.
Because a lot of people have mentioned Mut'a. You read it everywhere. Yeah, Mut'a. Everyone's talking about Mut'a. Bro, Mut'a, you can ask permission from her wali, from her father, if he's alive. If passed away, you can ask her paternal grandfather for permission, just to get to know.
Yeah.
No one's talking about, bro, you can even put condition. Don't even hold her hand.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Just speaking.
Just being in the
presence. And then
presence
you can speak about whatever you want.
There are cases where parents will reject people saying, can we do temporary marriage with your son or daughter, as well, your daughter in a male's case, because we want to get to know them. Good. Like, that's the right thing to do. I think most of our community
does it. It's the most sensible thing to do.
It's a sensible thing. It's risk-free.
As a Muslim.
Right? Okay. in cases
with the conditions, huh? Don't forget there is conditions, because people, no, sadly, people,
bro, you're not letting me finish.
Bro, people have this this mentality and view and opinion that temporary marriage is prostitution. It is not.
Say, let me finish, Habibi, please.
Now you can talk.
Sorry. They will say no for one of a few reasons, okay? Either they don't know what it means, so the parents aren't educated and told what it actually is. That's the responsibility on the parents to research. You need to know that stuff. Speak to a scholar, read your books, find out what the purpose and the abuse of it, and use it, understand its benefits, okay? That's one. Or they've had a bad experience themselves, or they've seen a bad experience maybe for the specific child, the daughter, or a friend or a family or a niece or a nephew, and they've said, no, I'm not letting it happen again. I trusted a boy in the past who abused the temporary marriage with my daughter.
I'm not letting it happen again.
What I'm saying is, in that case, look, every circumstance is unique, and you've got to deal with that on the basis of what's happening in the context around you. But for us to say if they don't allow it, they don't care about their daughter, I think that's wrong. I don't think we should say that. I don't think that's right. I think it's parents will view the protection of their daughter 10 times more than the happiness.
So you're telling me it's wrong to say they don't care about their daughter. No, they don't care. I don't think they don't care.
Yeah. Well, anyway, guys, we'll leave it in the comments. So let us know what you think.
For someone who doesn't care if their daughter is talking to a guy, getting to know them for months and months on end, without any temporary marriage involved,
bro, they don't give a flying monkey about their daughter. Talking about a case where a guy comes to a family house. Yeah, he comes to a family house, or let's say he's met her for the first time with the parents around, and they've asked the questions, do you pray, do you fast, yada yada. And now they're saying, now we know each other, we've asked each other the questions, can we now get to know each other further? I'm not talking about casual talking for months.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that first stage. I'm talking about the second stage.
Yeah, yeah. Where, I agree with you.
Where this engagement period.
I agree with you on that.
Because we have to be, bro, casual talking is a risk. We have to be seriously and very real here, Ahmed.
Yeah. Okay?
Some people's engagement period is a week. Some people's engagement period is a month. Some people have 5 years.
5 years, yeah.
You're telling me for 5 years you don't give a flying monkey that your daughter's doing haram every day talking to this guy?
No, that you're right on. I think we're on a different
page. This is the point I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like getting to know them 1 week, 2 weeks, talking, interacting.
If you're casually talking,
huh?
That's what it sounds like, though.
Oh, if I did, then do forgive me.
Yeah, no, because
it sounds like you're saying if you outright disagree with temporary marriage,
you don't care.
I said they don't mind the daughter doing haram.
I see what you're saying. So if you're speaking to someone for a period of years, of course, that's not all right. As a parent, you should care more about your kid. I agree with that.
Of course.
Like, you should care, what the hell is my kid doing if they're not married? Why are you chatting to a random guy?
You can agree. Romantic. You can disagree. I don't mind. I'm just telling you what the laws of Allah are.
The most important thing is that you guys tell us what you think, okay? Because we've been chatting for ages. So you guys tell us what you think. Are we talking absolute nonsense, or are we getting somewhere? Look, at the end of the day, whatever we've said is based on two or three things.
I'm not a scholar.
None of us are. Yeah, we're based on our own opinions.
I've never been housed in my life.
This is based on our own opinions and also our own experiences, both in our personal lives and also from our friends and our communities. So when we've been through that process of marriage, we would have spoken to the elders, we would have spoken to in-laws, we would have spoken to scholars, we would have spoken to different types of ulama and of research and whatnot. And inshallah, if you're not married, you will go through that stage, or you should go through that stage, and you'll come out with your own conclusions as well. But we want to know what you think, because this is clearly a contentious topic. You know, the crazy feedback we've had on social media just in like a space of 2 or 3 hours before we started recording is just absurd. So let us know what you guys think. I don't know if we should do the topic again, but if you guys want it.
Listen, I think we should. Look, today's topic was about Islamic dating. Does it exist?
Yeah.
I don't feel like we went into true depth. I think a conversation like this can be like a 3-4-5 part series,
yeah,
and possibly with respected ulama and scholars assisting us in the conversation. 100%. I think that will work amazing, because rather than us, you know, giving experiences and opinions, we'll have what the laws of Allah require of us.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is more important.
Yeah, yeah. It always takes precedence.
Which is what is going to guide us in this dunya, and inshallah take us to Jannah and the hereafter.
Inshallah.
But
inshallah,
if you are seeking to get married, please get the subscription, bro. Make that niyyah. You want to get married. قربة لله تعالى.
I said. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
If you're chatting to a girl or chatting to a guy, make sure you
get on that prayer mat, go into sujood and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easier for you.
100%.
To make you not fall into
haram. You never know. Maybe this time next year, you'll be with the right person. Inshallah.
Speak to your local maulana, go to your community, and believe me, there is a million matchmakers in your community. They're hidden. You normally find them at weddings. By the way, you know, like Iraqi weddings.
Because that's where people dress up.
The Iraqi weddings, like in the women's side, they go to weddings so they can find brides for their sons.
Mm.
Like normally that's what happens. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but everyone looks forward to a wedding because from that wedding there's gonna be 10 other weddings. You understand? And then you'll meet matchmakers there, you'll learn about other families there, and you get to see them. Yani a mom can see a potential daughter-in-law, potential spouse, wife for you. Weddings, communities. But I think inshallah communities need to encourage the youth to get married,
inshallah,
and facilitate and arrange, I don't know, conferences, camps, things for the purpose of marriage.
Yeah.
Aside that, we have 40-year-olds still not married.
Yeah, well, that's another conversation. All right, guys. Sorry, I know it was a longer one today, but we will be back next week. We have a special guest joining us next week, so stay tuned. And
if you want to know my full opinion on the temporary marriage, there is an episode.
There is
on temporary marriage, on the abuse of the marriage.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Assalamu alaikum.